Leander Andy Schwieger was born on May 22, 1926. He became a child of God through the waters of baptism the day he was born, and he was confirmed in the church on April 4, 1939. He married Carol on January 16, 1954. God has blessed Andy and Carol with children Deborah, Joel, Danny, Leanne, John, and Lisa, along with 15 grandchildren and 15 great-grandchildren. Andy was a pivotal member of St. Mark's in the early years, and he lovingly served God's people as a Sunday school teacher, elder, and even president of the congregation, among many other things. Andy went home to heaven to be with his Lord on July 21st, 2018. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We have come together to seek God's comfort in our sorrow and to rejoice in the promise of the resurrection. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you wept at the grave of your friend Lazarus, and you consoled Mary and Martha in their distress. Draw near to us who mourn for Andy, and dry the tears of all who weep. Calm our troubled hearts, dispel our doubts and fears, and lead us to praise you for having brought him to faith. In your rising from the dead, you conquered death and opened the gates to eternal life. Strengthen us with your word, carry our burdens, and lead us through this earthly life until at last we are united with you and all the saints in glory everlasting. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters.
He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
We'll continue with hymn number 417 in the red songbooks there in front of you in the pews. It's called "I'm But a Stranger Here." Hymn number 417.
Thank you.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. The Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus gives us this comfort. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Death has been swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God.
He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
When Christ, who is our life, appears,
then we also will appear with him in glory.
We will be before the throne of God
and serve him day and night in his temple.
Never again will we hunger.
Never again will we thirst.
For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be our shepherd. He will lead us to springs of living water.
And God will wipe away every tear from our eyes.
Let us pray. God of all grace, you sent your Son, Jesus, to destroy the power of death and to open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Make us certain that because he lives, we too shall live. Comfort us with your promise that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This morning we take a look at three readings from Scripture to give us comfort in this time of mourning. And the first one comes from Isaiah chapter 61. Here we see a prophecy of what Jesus was going to do for us. Not just give us his righteousness, but what that would mean for us in the darkness that enshrouds us. From Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and as a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations." The word of the Lord. The second lesson comes from Philippians 3, where we find out who that righteousness comes from, and as we read it, we also recognize that what Paul longed for is something that Andy is experiencing right now. From Philippians 3. "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." The word of the Lord. The third reading we'll take a look at is Jesus' own words about how we get to heaven, and that's through him alone. John chapter 14. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." The Gospel of the Lord. Join together in the next hymn, "In Christ Alone," which is hymn number 752 in the blue songbooks in front of you. 752. God's grace and peace through Jesus be yours, brothers and sisters, and especially to you, the family and friends of Andy Schwieger. The sermon text for This morning comes from Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. But before we get to that, let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your righteousness. Amen. Andy Schwieger was a pretty smart guy. He knew a lot of things, and he did a lot of things too. He was a rocket scientist. And oh, by the way, he also went back to school and became a nuclear scientist, because why not, apparently? When you're as smart as Andy, I guess you can do that. But it wasn't just his intelligence that set Andy apart. It was also the many good things that he did for the people of this world and for this congregation. Andy was on the board of elders. He even served as president of the congregation, giving his wisdom and his guidance to the congregation. He taught in the Sunday school, and he helped out at Tree of Life Bible Camp, all of which showed he loved sharing God's word with people. He worked with work crews here at the church, and I'm told that when there was a group of Armenians that came to the area who needed help, Andy stepped up and showed them the love of God, because that's who Andy was. And you couldn't keep and limit Andy's helpfulness just to this continent. No, not with Andy. Because he also helped out in Japan, too. Andy Schwieger knew a lot of things about science, about living a good life, about being good to those around him, and about work in the church. But the most important thing, the biggest thing that Andy knew, was that it was all garbage. In a way. In comparison to the perfect standard of God's holy law, in comparison to the number of sins that Andy committed against that holy law, and in comparison to a certain person's righteousness that far outweighed them all, Andy knew everything that he brought to the table was like garbage. And Andy praised God for that. That's why we're here this morning, to celebrate, not just to mourn. Andy knew a lot of things. He knew where his true righteousness came from, and he knew the power of the one who gave it to him and who proved it. The Apostle Paul learned those things too. Before he came to faith, the Apostle Paul had all of these things that he had done according to God's Old Testament law, and all of this righteousness he was storing up. He thought he was being really impressive, even to God. Just before our text, this is what Paul says. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. Pharisees were super strict in keeping God's law. As for zeal, persecuting the church, so super zealous. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Have you ever read the Old Testament law? That's saying something. There are a lot of rules and guidelines. Have you ever read the summary of God's moral law and the Ten Commandments? This is quite the claim that Paul makes. Paul's resume was almost as good as Andy's. But then everything changed for Paul. At the moment of his conversion, he came to know the truth about his righteousness, and he came to know the truth about how it all compared to Christ. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ. Knowing Christ and what he did put everything into perspective for Paul. He realized everything that he did was nothing. It was actually less than nothing. It was loss. It was keeping him from the truth of salvation. Paul thought he knew more about God's word than anybody else. And yet when he came to know Christ, he came to know the truth about his righteousness. And that happened when he came to know the truth about sin and what it causes. Sin causes death, physical and spiritual. Sin is pervasive. Sin is ingrained not just in our bodies, but in our minds and in our actions, in our hearts and our desires and our emotions. Because of that, we bring an utter lack of righteousness before our holy God. Even the good things we do are tainted by sin. Not to mention that just one sin fails to live up to God's perfect standard in His holy law. That's why Paul knew that everything he brought to the table was like garbage, just to be thrown out. He knew you couldn't earn anything in front of a holy God. And you'd think that that would be depressing for Paul and for Andy, but it was the opposite. Coming to know the truth about sin and what it causes helps bring you to the knowledge of just how much God loves us, just how much Christ has done for us, and just how much God graciously gives to us through Christ. While we might be spiritually dead by nature and sin, and we bring an utter lack of righteousness to God, God still offers a righteousness, and He offers it freely. He offers Christ's righteousness. See, Christ kept God's law perfectly. Christ was perfectly righteous. Somehow, being born of a virgin and conceived by the Holy Spirit meant that Jesus was not tainted with sin in His body, in His mind, in His heart, in His actions, emotions, desires, thoughts. No, not Him. He truly was faultless. And the reason that that is so important and so big for us is that God sent Him as our substitute. That means that all of that righteousness that Jesus gained is now covering us. And as our substitute, He even took all of our unrighteousness and He paid the punishment for it. Payment given when He gave up His life. Payment accepted, proven when He was resurrected to life 3 days later. But if that's Christ's righteousness, how did it become Paul's? How did it become Andy's? How does it become ours? Simply through faith. That's it. It's nothing that we do. As Paul says about his own works, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. With Christ, instead of loss, it's all gain. Instead of being earned, it's all given. Instead of based on works, it's all from faith. It's all a gift. It's all given by God. And Andy knew that. That's why Andy did not put his trust in all of his intelligence and all of the things that he did. Now, if he had done that, they would have been like garbage. Instead, Andy put all of his trust in Christ's righteousness alone. It's the only way that he knew that he could get to heaven, that anybody can get to heaven, as Jesus said in our gospel lesson. Knowing Christ like that and His righteousness brings a lot of knowledge about how much God loves us, but it also brings another piece of knowledge. As Paul says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Knowing Christ and what He did brings with it the knowledge of the power of His resurrection. That's a power that you saw evidenced in Andy's life. It's a power while we are all spiritually dead and sinned by nature. That resurrection gives us spiritual life, and that is evidenced by everything that we mentioned earlier about that Andy did. It empowered Andy to want to help out his neighbors, whether it was here in California, in Minnesota, or even all the way in Japan. It was a power that wanted him to share his knowledge, whether within science or God's Word. It empowered him to share his expertise, his wisdom, his caring, all with this congregation for years and years. It gave him the power to see that all of the things that could have been considered garbage were not garbage. thanks to Christ. He couldn't earn anything by it. He knew that Christ already earned it for him. Instead, he knew Christ, his resurrection, and the power that it brought. It's a power that we'll all see someday. It's a power that will be evident for all people that have ever lived. If sin causes death, and Jesus paid for sin, that means life for everyone. So every person that's ever lived will all be raised on the last day, and that includes Andy. Andy knew the power of that resurrection here, and he'll know it someday for sure. God will resurrect Andy's ashes, and he will reunite Andy's body with his soul. Andy will get to experience the eternal life he's already experiencing, just with a perfect body and soul, forever with God in heaven. That's the power of the resurrection. And that's the power of God's love. That's what Andy knew. Andy Schwieger was a pretty smart guy. He knew that everything he brought to the table was like garbage in comparison to what Christ did for him. And now he's living with his perfect Lord and Savior in heaven. Andy was a pretty smart guy. He knew a lot of things about his Savior. He praised God for that. And this morning, we praise God for it too. Amen. May the peace that God gives to you through Christ and Christ alone be with you now until that last day when he shows you the power of the resurrection. Amen. We now join together to confess our faith in a confession that Andy confessed for so many years. It's called the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We'll now join together to sing the next hymn. We join together in prayer and the Lord's Prayer found on page 6. We pray. God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to bring life and eternal life and heaven to light. We give you thanks because by his death, Jesus destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection has opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Make us certain that because Jesus lives, all those who know him and trust in him as Savior will also live. Deal kindly with those who mourn the passing of Andy. Move them to gather around your word for comfort. Be their strength. Speak to them through your word and remind them that neither life nor death, nor things present nor things to come shall be able to separate anyone from your love, which is revealed to us in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. I want to thank everybody on behalf of the family for coming out and praising Jesus for all of his work in Andy's life. We'll have more to say about Andy, and we'll have a video slideshow of some things in the multi-purpose center, which is where we're going to have a luncheon. So as you exit the sanctuary, you may make your way straight over to the multi-purpose center. And so that people can grab their food right away and start eating, we'll say the common table prayer right now together. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. May God bless you, and may he continue to comfort you with his righteousness and his peace. God bless you.